The Around the NFL Podcast, a collaboration that feels so egoless.
Now, welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Jeff Hansis, and I'm joined with a room full of whatever you call yourselves. We got the Sizzle Man, Mark Sessler, and Teen Wolf, Colleen Wolf, and the Businessman, Greg Rosenthal. What's going on, everybody?
Hi.
God, that was horrible.
What just happened? Where are we? Who are we?
It's an absolute coup d'etat.
I gotta get out of here.
Is your name Connor?
Yeah, my flight's leaving
soon. Hi, nice to meet you. I didn't recognize you.
Finally, it's happening. Yeah, why don't you take that back?
Dan now violently taking the headset off of Connor's head and putting it back on his own.
Stridently doing so. Connor, that's a way to go out.
Bye, Connor.
It's good that Colleen recognized you, though.
I haven't seen Dan this upset since the episode we really did start without him knowing.
Well, that's like going back to when we were starting this podcast and Greg was the boss. He was like, maybe I should host it. I was like, no.
No.
It's not going to go like that, Greg.
It was good. It was fun. I would do it again.
No, that was a deep – whatever that was,
it was a deep violation. That was years. It was years into the podcast.
There was some code broken there, if I remember. Yeah. It was kind of one of those things where after the show, I was like, I wonder how Dan's going to think about that. And
Can you take a joke? And we found out the answer.
that joke, by the way, from Connor was stellar.
I loved it.
That's how you go out.
Well, it's been a very weird week of shows, and I credit a lot of that to Connor.
Yeah, Connor did a great job. And
he pitched this little idea, and we were like, not sure how that's going to go, but I want to find out.
Yeah, I said to him, listen, it's either going to be very funny or it's not going to work at all, and then we can make fun of how bad your idea was. I think it was like right in the middle. It was like right in between.
I like the Jeff Hansis. I think that's what he said, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Hansis sounds good.
Jeff
Let's Hansis. Break it all down. Analyze this joke.
All right. Bye, Connor. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. By the way, you are such a rat, Greg, because now that I'm thinking about when you did start the show without me, it was because you were trying to win a bet that you had made with Wes or something.
Oh, yeah. That's why it was all fun.
The
it was
show
all
had
fun.
To start by a certain time.
Yeah, the show had to start by a certain time, and that's then you left to go get water, and so I just, like, I wanted to win the sandwich and started
it. Went back to your addictions. That's what it was about.
I mean, I was
It was rooted there.
It's whatever's good for the show. I was playing into this bit that was on the show so hard.
Savvy move by you. Good job.
All right. Today's show. Colleen, thank you for joining us, by the way.
You're welcome. This show is a real winner, I think, today.
Oh, you could already tell. It's just careening on the tracks without any problems.
The amount of prep work done for this particular episode it's kind of stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, if the listeners paid for this show, I would feel guilty.
Please.
I would feel guilty. But you know what? Here we are, the four of us together, missing Wes, of course, but still forging on. And I want to, first of all, a shout out to the subreddit, the Around the NFL subreddit, which we issued a challenge not 2 weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, I can't remember anymore, saying we were sitting around 4,300 followers of the subreddit and said, let's get it to 5,000. And I guess I underestimated how much people want free stuff because we said there will be a prize to be determined. Flash forward to today, and I think we're at about 5,300.
Bribing works every time.
How many of those are bots, like not real people or people, you know, interacting with others?
I don't really know how the bot industry works. I feel like they're humans.
It seems to be trending towards another type of industry from the bots that try to take hold of my tweets. They don't seem like very pure individuals.
Why do you say that?
They're mostly people with very little clothing on commenting on a tweet that I did from like 2013. It just doesn't seem real.
Yeah,
you go to their page.
The real excitement was the couple of days before Mark realized that these were bots.
Oh, I thought,
just thought all these hotties.
My demographic is fantastic at that point. By the way, the 5,000th listener, we know what they win, don't you, right?
Do we?
They win Sydney. We're just sending Sydney
her face
to where,
right now.
You're fine with that, right?
Right into slavery. Feel good about it, yeah.
It's not what I'd call it.
I mean, it could be slavery in a worst-case scenario. In a best-case scenario, you either make a best friend, if it's a woman, or you fall in love. if it's a man.
Careening.
I mean, the best show is careening. Feeling good about that best case scenario.
No, we haven't figured out what the prize was. There is a Shadowy League figure meeting to come where I'm going to pound the table to see if we can get something.
What about the toaster? I thought it was going to be Wes's toaster.
I feel like we can do better than that.
Did you guys?
You know, okay. Just okay. A little better.
There was something like,
I standards
subreddit.
By you. Yeah. I would love a toaster.
We don't even own the toaster, by the way. Shaq has it. So oh. It's like.
Even better.
There was a winner of an idea someone brought up on the subreddit, which was a personalized voice message written by Sessler.
Hmm. Whoa.
Sessler monologue as your outgoing message.
That's pretty easy.
I don't know if I like that kind of stuff out there on tape.
Just one, though. Possible. This is a special. That's what makes it
or
special.
How about this? I will call them 5,000 to 6,000 times over the course of a year.
You just
and
made
totally
it.
Alienate them, and they'll by the end, they'll want nothing to do with.
So instead of having to write one short thing once, you would rather call them 5,000 times.
5,000 to 6,000 times.
Okay.
So on today's show, we will debut the segment called This or That.
Woo!
Which right. will be a segment in which we will present two things, this or that, and then the group will decide which one they would rather have. Is that what it is? Something like that. Something like that. We'll have fun with it.
Yeah. It's fluid right now.
It's very organic.
Connor came up with it on his way out. He did a little producing work.
A lot of good ideas from Connor related to the show. Two for two is what I said.
Is that a dig?
And then we will also, of course, hit the news. And to do that, we look behind the glass. And you know who it is, bitch. It's the first lady of the Around the NFL podcast, New Money.
Hey, guys. How's it going on this Thursday?
Are we beeping out a bit or no in general? Because this is the second show in a row. I never listened to the show.
It is, yeah, it is.
Okay, we are beeping out. Mm-hmm.
I could see Shadowy League's figure's brain exploding within his skull, and then there's fluids leaking out of the ears and nostrils if we don't bleep it.
It's almost
the only one that listens to the show is on vacation anyway, so.
He's still listening. I would say this. It's almost worse to bleep out because the imagination then comes up with a much worse word or words or combination of.
All right, let's suspend bleeping out any foul language going forward.
Oh, sure, yeah. Going out in flames. My job right there.
Let's do some news.
You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Now, certainly, Colleen, you are somewhat knowledgeable of the Twilight Zone series, right?
Oh, expert status.
Have you seen more
really?
Than three episodes of the show?
No.
Be honest. Never seen a episode?
I mean, actually, it's very possible that I have seen the episodes, and I just don't remember any longer. It's just been expunged from my memory.
Well, this came up yesterday, and there were people tweeting that were stunned that most of us were not Twilight Zone.
All of you.
No, but see, I would say I've probably seen 30 episodes.
I only
in my life.
Saw like two yeah, tweets on that, which is not a big...
I'm 43. It was on not in its original run, but right. I also watched Channel 11. I was around. You just seemed you remember certain episodes so well. I do not with that show.
Like yeah. what episodes would you remember? What's an example?
The one I cited yesterday, which is The Good Life, about the boy that lives in this town and he could read minds and he's evil and he could wish people away to the cornfields. Talking Tina was one of my favorite ones about an evil doll.
That one I think I recall.
Yeah, I was more into Three's Company when I was little. That's
it's a very
I watched,
different program.
I watched that.
Nightmare at 30,000 Feet with a young William Shatner when there's a monster on the plane, on the wing of the plane, and nobody believes him. He's the only one that can see it. This is pop culture touchstone stuff. I just thought more people knew.
No.
Somebody made the point that, first of all, very surprised Wes wasn't on board with it. And then also pointing out that there are people that go back retroactively and watch The Twilight Zone to better understand references on The Simpsons and other programs. Mm.
It was absolutely huge. It's a huge cultural moment, but I think, you know, someone 10 years older than
that moment's over.
This was the 1959 series.
32 years old, out of the womb. Here he is, Greg Rosenthal. Let's start with the news. That new Englewood Stadium? The one that we're all going to move to and work out of?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's been delayed, the opening.
No.
Till 2020, and you know why. We're all very, very aware of this. The terrible weather over the winter. Both clubs, the that being the Rams and the Chargers, have confirmed the one-year pushback on Thursday, releasing statements that cited an unexpected amount of rainfall for a delay in construction. The new stadium was set to open in time for the 2019 season, but now it'll be ready for 2020 in the summer. And this, it was all a timing issue. They broke ground in November 2016, and then it just rained for every other day, it felt like, for about 3 months, to the point...
There was a six-week span where it rained, I think, every day.
Yeah, you should have seen the palm trees.
Mm. What?
Per the LA Times, water at times stood up to 12 to 15 deep in the big hole, the big old hole that they were digging, and everything's going to be okay. It's a $2.6 billion project, but they're going to put a little delay on it.
So I think it's so – go ahead.
The please. Chargers will end up staying at StubHub then for an extra year too.
Oh, yeah,
they'll
good
have
point.
Have that,
yeah,
like, cozy, nice, quaint atmosphere for 2 years.
I know you're
years.
Excited about it, Mark.
About the StubHub
yeah.
scenario? Yeah, I think it's – well, it's – listen, let's see where we are by the end of the year. It could be great. It could be an epic mess.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. But now they're cutting it close because the Super Bowl will be played, assuming things don't change, in the first season that it's open. So they scheduled it, and they usually do this with the new stadiums, that you have one full season, like the Vikings did last year, and then in that second season, that's kind of your first chance. Hopefully they've ironed out the kinks and they figure out anything that was wrong the first season, then you have the Super Bowl. So they'll be playing the Super Bowl there for, you know, 5-6 months after it opens.
I hope they send us
in theory
that one.
Maybe it's God saying
that would
to
be
the
rude
Rams and Chargers, sit down, be humble.
I mean, at that point, 2021, we're talking about, Colleen.
Who knows?
We won't be here.
I mean, there's definitely a
in
realistic,
like a greater sense.
There's definitely a realistic chance that we don't have jobs here. It's
right.
It's certainly in the realm of possibility.
We'll certainly be swept out by some form of management by that point.
There could be no America by then. There may be
right.
no America by
right.
2021.
We have been here. What? I've been here for 5 years. There has been at least 3 to 4 different people running kind of the LA operation in that time. So you get the wrong person in there.
Plus the threat of earthquakes,
we could all be out.
And nuclear holocaust. So
moving on, Ladarius Green. So much for him making a big impact in Pittsburgh. The team announced Thursday that they've released the tight end with a failed physical designation. You may remember that just last year, Green had signed a 4-year, $20 million contract, made $6 million for doing very little much, and very little at all, I should say. And he was supposed to be a guy that was a perfect complement to that offense, but he had concussion issues and other injuries, and they're not going to get anything out of their Green experiment. Colleen, a what if? I'm not going to call it a what if for the ages, but there was this idea. We were glowing talking about the signing
yeah.
last year, and it just never came
It was
together.
So exciting when they signed him. I remember we were all sitting in here, and the fact that they added him to that offense, you have a big guy target for Ben Roethlisberger, and now they have Jesse James, Xavier Grimble, and David Johnson.
Oh, they'll be okay.
Jesse James isn't bad.
Jesse James, I thought, was pretty productive last year.
Well, you kind of saw what Green could be for them. I mean, he averaged 17 yards per catch. He had a couple big games. I mean, he made some plays down the field. But he is a young guy, he's turning 27 this year, whose career might be over because of concussions. This, to me, is strictly because of his concussions,
right.
And they weren't even sure if he was going to be able to be ready for the start of the season. So you feel for a guy. He did get paid. That's great, but he might be yet another player. It seems like there's been more and more that their career might be ending early.
Most of them have appeared in our Making the Leap series.
Yeah, I was going to say, another Making the Leap star bites the dust. Where does Colleen Xavier Grimble rank on your NFL name power rankings?
Ooh, it's a great one.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's probably top 25, maybe. I'd have to go back and look at the rankings, but I haven't seen a Grimble in a while. So.
It mixes like a very cool first name mm-hmm. with sort of a clunky last name, so it kind of throws you off.
Almost like a forest, like wood creature would be like, oh, look at that Grimble.
Right.
Grimble, or like a small rodent.
Something.
Yeah, I think that is a children's story.
Is it?
Or it's something very close. It's like a British.
You're not talking about Grendel, the mythological creature.
My word, it's a talking Grimble.
Exactly.
He has gold coins for us. Let's follow him deeper into the woods.
How does the story end?
Poorly. They get lost in the woods and starve to death.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's not the starvation that gets them.
It's the...
The fluids.
A classic children's tale.
Got to drink water. Got to stay hydrated.
That's the moral of the story.
Kelvin Benjamin, remember when he was one of the young rising stars of the league? He could still be that. He's a young guy. But the Panthers wide receiver struggled last season in his first year back from an ACL injury. He's had some weight issues, and then he was kind of put on blast by his coaching staff. Came in heavier than the coaches wanted. And this is what Benjamin had to say on Wednesday via the team's official website. I need to be in the best shape of my life. I have to get back to being dominant. Now, I was going to sound the trope alert, but this is a little different because usually Kelvin Benjamin, if he's – perfect example. Kelvin Benjamin says, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Trope alert.
Trope Let's cut alert. It, though, because he didn't say that. He said, I need to be. So he's acknowledging – that he is physically not where he needs to be, and he's got some time to do it, but he better get to work.
I think it's interesting with this team that under the same general manager with the same quarterback, for a couple years they stressed finding these massive targets, Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin for Cam Newton, and then in this draft it's like they've added something they need. They need a speed component, but you go out and you get Curtis Samuel and you add Christian McCaffrey. It's a completely different type of approach on offense.
Yeah, and I think like in the story that Patra wrote up, he has here that he said, I think people saw that first weigh-in and were like, whoa, is he ready to play? I mean, that's definitely a concern when he reads that on other people's faces.
You know what I think it's time for, Mark? A little beach body.
Beach body.
Well, it surprises me. One thing surprises me.
You put him and Devin Funchess on that. Both.
Yeah,
those
it
guys
surprises me because what is his job essentially? It's like an actor. You're supposed to keep your looks. You're supposed to keep your frame around you. As an athlete, you've got to stay in shape. And then you let them away from the team, and they come back and they're not in shape. What are you telling an employer that's paying you millions of dollars? I don't give an F.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Got to get it together, bro. Moving on. Alex Smith. You know, listen, he's still the quarterback of the Chiefs. He's had a very nice career. Maybe not what was expected as a number one overall pick, but a perfectly solid quarterback. But now he sees Patrick Mahomes in his building, and he understands how this works. He had this to say to ESPN.com. I think the Chiefs are committed to me through this year. That's just the nature of it. If you don't go out there and perform, I mean, Coach Reed and quarterback's coach Matt Nagy are very honest. You've got to go out there and do your deal. We all have to. Whether or not we drafted Patrick, it doesn't change that, right? If you're not good enough and didn't get it done, you're not going to be around long. That's just our culture. I know it. That's the nature of the position. Greg, can you translate?
Translate. I am Alex Smith, and I am fired up to keep this kid on the bench as long as humanly possible. I am going to treat him like Brett Favre treated Aaron Rodgers in trying to delay his career.
Because
this is a good situation for me in Kansas City. I'm feeling the heat.
I think it's well translated.
It's beautiful.
It's the perfect way to translate it. But that's the best thing that he could say. I mean, Alex Smith, what is he supposed to say in that situation? He said the exact like textbook response that's perfect.
There's a little bit of rasp in your voice today, Colleen.
Yeah. I was away this past
That's
weekend.
Right. You're on vacation?
I had one of my best friends from college got married in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah, you were doing the cliche Bahamas experience.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, Dan.
Well, you know. Well, that's what you said to me. But
it was a beautiful Atlantis, and there were water slides, and I was in a tank with sharks, and it was wonderful.
Did you ride the dolphin?
I didn't, no, but I did ride a tube. There was a tube in the water park.
Back to the rasp, though. I mean, that comes directly from drinking alcohol, I would assume.
It does, yeah. So there was a lot of everything.
Well, that's a good transition. This actually is an intervention, Colleen. So let's bring in your parents. Here they come.
They're actually in town.
I know.
Mark,
thank you for reaching out.
Sure.
To
no,
that was really nice.
Good to have them in town.
And we're going to get through this together because this is not an attack, rather a communal experience.
This is the safe space on the pod.
She was told that John Gonzalez, she told us before he was coming in to do the Dave Damaschek show.
Who?
Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who is married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Every time I post anything online, everybody is John Gonzalez.
I get that a lot.
Is he a little bit annoyed by it? Because
No.
He's an established sports writer in his own right. He's won an Emmy for his television
Doing great
work
with The Ringer right now.
Yeah, yep. Covering NBA. Everybody wants to know who he is.
John, does John listen to the show? He does.
Yeah.
Right? John, we know who you are. And I think the listenership truly does.
Wait, he's not here for my intervention?
Well, that was the point. He's not here for the Damaschek show. He's here to talk with you directly.
This is one of those interventions where they try to separate the two people that both need an intervention. Because you have to handle this yourself. It's your disease.
Yeah.
And he's got to handle his own.
He can't help me until I help myself.
And besides, he said he got hung up because he's at the courthouse downtown taking away some paperwork, he said.
Oh, interesting. Weird.
That adds up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look into this.
Is that a divorce bit?
It's a little bit of a divorce bit in a big spot.
How about this day? Wow.
Wait a second.
This is breaking news.
No, that's not the breaking news. Breaking news, Grimble is a children's book, 1968, a classic, a boy about 10 who returns home from school one day and his parents have left for Peru for a week. But you also might be thinking of The Gruffalo, which is about another British children's book where a strange, forest creature comes after you called The Gruffalo.
Here, follow me into the woods. I'm a Grimble.
That's what it is, except it's The Gruffalo.
I'll take you to safety.
Does the Grimble's book end with the parents being arrested? They take off for Peru without telling their child?
Kind of like
this is troubling.
Sounds like a Home Alone type of thing. Yeah.
I see you, Grimble. Stay away from Sydney. That's my property.
Wow.
That is, that is rude to even to say something like that, Mickey.
I'm really concerned about everything that's
There's
going on.
So many things happening.
Moving on. Amir Abdullah. He's been a darling of the fantasy community, of this room in the past. It's never really come together for the Lions running back who missed all but two games last year with an injury. But Abdullah said any offseason discussions about adding a running back did not threaten his status. He feels confident in his roster spot. It doesn't bother me, here's the quote, to talk about that stuff. But at the same time, I don't really care what really happened because I feel like I'm a better player than whoever they were going to bring in, he told the Detroit News. It didn't matter to me. That's just me being a player and a competitor. Let's see. They got Theo Reddick there, Zach Zenner, Dwayne Washington. Mark, where does Amir Abdullah fit into the Lions picture in 2017?
If he's healthy, he's their best running back in theory, but it just sounds like athlete speak to me. Everything that came out of his mouth right there is just mid-May fluff.
And there were a lot of running backs on the market that they could have signed in the offseason, but they didn't. So I think that's kind of telling that maybe they do think that Abdullah can change things for them. I mean, their rushing offense was awful last year.
It was an incredibly small sample size, but I went back because it was part of this article. I didn't watch, the 25 touches he had in the first. He was a great player for the first game and a half of last season. I know it's only a game and a half, but some running backs don't show looking like a great player ever. And he looked like a big time difference maker. And the injuries he haven't been like a torn knee ligament or something where you think it's going to be a lasting effect. It was kind of a freak injury.
It does annoy me. Any team that has had sort of the same issue over and over and over to position group. For I feel as long as we've worked here, the Lions have never had a running game. What kind of team and what kind of division would you want? You want to be able to run the ball if you're the Lions. You got to keep up with the Packers and these other teams. Abdullah, here's the thing. You got to prove you can stay healthy.
How many 1,000-yard rushers have they had since Barry Sanders retired? Is there someone in there that threw in a couple? Has there
maybe
been
two?
One? There has to have been one or two.
I mean, 1,000 is a low bar.
That's what I mean, but like, I'm trying to think who would even.
It's just seems like for as long as you can remember, the Lions since since Barry Sanders had not had someone to plug in there.
It's pretty ugly. Reggie Bush barely topped 1,000, Dan, a few years ago for them. But, yeah, looking at these names, Riddick, Abdullah, Joik Bell, Javid Best for a couple of years. He didn't get Kevin Smith. Remember, he was supposed to be a star. You're right.
Kevin Jones.
They have not had a guy other than that one season where Reggie Bush barely got over 1,000 for the last decade.
Can you remember?
That's terrible.
And Reggie made a real big deal about rushing for 1,000. I think that was the only year he did it. And he went nuts, and I think he bought a bunch of...
In an age where that stat means nothing anymore.
Bought a bunch of things for his linemen, which was a nice gesture. Finally in the news. well, it was. I think he got like one of those things where you stand on it and it goes by itself.
The Segways?
Segways.
Oh, really?
I think he got a bunch of Segways or cars or something.
I feel like that's
Segways and cars are two totally different
things. But I do feel like at least 30% of the Segway market seems to be like offensive line presence from their running backs.
And what
like,
do you, that's what the do, only, you do with them?
Like,
when
why
you
is
them?
That an offensive line present? But it always is. It's like, oh, yeah, he got us some Segways.
If you're in L.A., what? You have a Segway.
Like, what do we do?
Where are you going in a Segway in L.A.?
Without
getting hit by a car or a bike.
What
or
do
something?
You mean? Oh, really? Like Santa Monica. Like people are zooming around in all sorts of weird things.
All right, I was thinking.
That. I'm not introduced to that aspect of life.
His first 1,000, I guess he had more than 1,000-yard season. His first came
Miami.
As Miami's featured back in 2011. He had 1,086 yards that season, and he bought his entire line Segways. So I did have the right.
That's amazing you remembered that.
Yeah. We might have wrote about it.
I'm impressed.
Thanks, buddy. Finally in the news, Trey Boston, the safety, signed with the Los Angeles Chargers this season. And the reason why? It might go back to some dude at a gas station. This is interesting. Boston was trying to decide between the Chargers, Bills, and Steelers in free agency and said that the decision was made when he stopped in a Charlotte area gas station to fill up his tank. I crossed two lanes to get to the gas station. I pumped my gas. After I pumped my gas, I put my wallet in my car. After I put my wallet in my car, there's a guy with three kids, and he asked me for a little bit of change, or if I had a dollar or two, I gave him $20. Humble brag.
Yeah.
So he tells me, thank you very much. Thank you so much. And God put me in his life for a reason. And in my mind, I'm saying, you're here for a reason, too. So in my mind, I'm saying, should I ask him LA or Buffalo? And before I could ask him, my man told me, thank God. Thank you so much. There aren't too many people like you in this world. God's children. My name's Mike Daniels, but people call me L.A.
No.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's crazy.
Great story.
I wasn't sure where
you
the story was going.
Just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Well done, Sydney.
I mean,
wow.
Much nicer than the guy who told my wife after my laughing children went by that they reminded her of the communists that he killed in Vietnam.
Yeah, better interaction in this case.
True story.
You can almost make the argument that guy came back with some mental issues from war, that perhaps he saw too much. Not to make any excuses for the guy. Sounds like a monster of a human.
Wow.
Did your poor children even pick up on it?
No, they're too young. He kind of muttered it, apparently.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. I got a text right after.
Street
had you
Rio
been there, what would you
just a few
you,
days ago?
What would you have done had you been there? Would you start cleaning the house?
What are you talking to? It's the strong silence.
That's what I'm asking. Like, how would you handle it?
The muscle comes in.
You know, I'd probably keep walking. And
Greg's like,
never happened.
Greg's sprinting down the sidewalk in the opposite direction.
No, Greg.
You don't really want to expose your two young children to whatever unpredictable things could be happening.
I think it's a tough situation.
I admire your honesty there. Because it could easily have said, oh, I'd get up in his face and I'd tell him what's what.
No.
It's like, but no, that's not Greg.
No.
Honestly, I'm not a guy that has ever gotten into like a lot of fights or anything. Maybe I got into one my whole life. It would be hard for me to not confront that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what it is. Depends on, you have to assess the situation.
I mean, yeah.
But I applaud you.
That's scary, though, too, at the same time, because you don't really know what's going to happen next.
I mean, it's definitely better. This guy's definitely better than the guy who told Jimmy Haslam to draft Johnny Manziel. Was that it or something like that?
That's apparently how it went, and that obviously, you're right, that did not work out well, Greg.
There's also a scenario where a switch is flipped, like Ralphie in A Christmas Story, and you just tear the guy apart like he's Scott Farkas. I could see that too. Still waters run deep.
So keep that in mind for next time it happens, Greg.
You live in Santa Monica, which there, you know, there's, it's a the vagrant capital of the city.
I've had a lot of stuff yelled at me where I'm
yeah,
like,
you
this
get
is
stuff
really
yelled.
Embarrassing.
So this was like a block from our house. So you'd have to kind of assess the thing. But, yeah, I think probably the smart play is, you know, to keep moving because they're also there. What are they going to be doing?
All right, moving on. That's what's happening in the news.
Sorry for totally sinking.
No, that was – I think it was important to bring it up, and I'm glad we talked about it. Sydney,
oh, no.
Do you have odds or end, odds and ends, the jingle?
Give me about 10 seconds.
Okay. This is what we need you to do.
I had no idea that I was going to have to
sing. It's not
going to
be
today.
Odds or ends.
Okay.
It's going to be this or that.
Okay.
To the tune of odds or ends, or at least the background jingle. You could take the vocal any place you want.
Okay.
Don't blow this.
I'm not.
Remember,
I won't.
Remember, it's shorter than you always think. It's
I know.
Yeah. It's tough.
Okay.
Okay. Ready when you are, Sid?
This or that, this or that. It's time for this or that, this or that. I never know when it's going to end.
That was serviceable.
It's okay. We'll get to close this
I'm segment. Tone deaf if you haven't already recognized
anybody that.
The funny thing is it's always solid until the moment where you go, I wish I could figure it out at the end.
There's always the saddest West story that he's ever told is going to a Catholic school in Cincinnati and being a part of some type of chorus.
Oh, my God.
And being so tone deaf, and he just couldn't sing. Poor Wes couldn't sing. But the nuns or whoever were the teachers, they couldn't take that. So they put his ear on the piano and, like, listen to the pitch. Learn how to sing.
Terrible. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a Catholic school thing. You have to be in choir. We did that, too.
That is a bygone era now. And I didn't go to Catholic school, but I went to what was known as CCD after school. And you would hear horror stories. Even back then, there was one kid when I was in elementary school that had a what was known back then as a rat tail.
Yeah.
And as legend has it, at our elementary school, this kid that we knew that went to the Catholic school had his tail ripped out.
Ripped.
No.
Straight up.
By a nun.
Could be folklore.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so maybe Wes made out
easy. Catholic school's crazy. My parents ended up paying tuition for my sister's my sister's high school in pennies because they were so mean to her. So they paid the last installment in all pennies.
Wow.
And it was like $800 or so worth of pennies.
Whoa.
And they called the Federal Reserve and they were like, yeah, we need to get this amount in pennies. And they were like, well, Mr.
Can
Wolf,
you do that in the bank?
We can only do that if it's a fundraiser. And he's like, oh yeah, it's a fundraiser for Gwynedd Mercy Academy. And
check the box.
They delivered like a Brinks truck pulled up to my parents' house.
Wow.
Delivered them all, but they were all in the little neat like rolled packages.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad broke open all the packages and put
wow.
different amounts in different boxes.
Wow.
And then my dad delivered all the boxes and my mom wrote a note to the principal that just said a penny for your thoughts.
Oh! Bunsen burner blowtorch for the ages.
Yeah, they were awful. They were awful.
That wow. That story says so much about your parents. And,
yeah.
And it's all good. Like
I
love the pettiness, the creativity, the vindictiveness,
yeah.
like just the fortitude to fight through what's really
my mom had blisters,
took a lot of work.
She said all over her hands.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Bound to come up during your intervention, which will start in about 40 minutes.
I want to circle back to the Detroit Lions running back situation since Barry Sanders. James Stewart ran for almost 1,200 yards in 2000. Kevin Jones ran for 1,100 in 2004. James Stewart ran for another 1,000 yards in 2002. I don't even remember James Stewart.
That no.
I do.
Reggie Bush ran for 1,006, and that's it.
I believe James Stewart was on the Jaguars.
Yeah, he was.
Hmm.
And again,
I remember Kevin Jones was a very likable guy. Kevin Smith as well.
Running for 1,000 yards is not that big a deal. You just need to get, like, what, 250 carries, which isn't a ton.
I don't know if I trust your math anymore.
I think I nailed that one. Average 4 yards a carry, 250. Nailed it.
We're going to have to double check.
All right. Here we go. Now, let's go around the horn. Mark, this or that.
All right, this football example or that football example, you.
Oh, no.
Is that what this segment is? Okay, good.
Oh, really?
I think that works.
It's a little nebulous. A little nebulous.
So let's say you have a new franchise and you have a choice of one or the other coach front office combinations. You can have either Hugh Jackson and the Browns, in quotes, forward-thinking front office, or you can have Sean McVay and the Rams front office. This or that.
I see what you're doing here. I'm going to take the Browns. And
what am I doing?
You're doing it in a way to set us up to complimenting your team. Like, hey, we're not as big, we're not as big a mess as some other teams
out there. It out.
A lot of people, if Sean McVay, everyone wants to treat the Rams like they're this really special thing happening, then get on board with them.
I guess it's actually, now that I think about it, it's a tough answer because Wade Phillips comes along with the Rams.
Whereas
Greg Williams comes with the Browns. That's a trade you definitely take for the Rams side. The Rams have struggled here with this front office for a while, and we haven't seen anything out of McVay. And I feel like Hugh Jackson's a solid head coach. I am going to go with the Browns.
I'm with Greg. I'm going with the Browns, too. I really like what they did in the offseason with the offensive line. And I like that, look, they brought in Kenny Britt. Which I don't know.
It's a terrible move.
I'm going to gloss over the quarterback situation.
It's an awful move.
And
the Kenny Britt signing is terrible. It's so bad.
I do like what they did on defense.
Mark,
I'm really like stretching right now.
Mark, it looks like you just
Kenny
stole
Britt is
all
not the centerpiece of their offense.
But I like what they did with the defense because you had Jamie Collins there already and you brought in Jason McCourty and the guys that they drafted are studs. You have Myles Garrett, who people are already like, oh my God, Greg Williams and him are these alpha personalities and they're going to take over. So yeah, I'm going with the Browns.
You realize Kenny Britt is like 4 months older than Terrell Pryor, by the way?
He's like 28, right?
Yeah. I feel like Kenny Britt has been in the NFL for 17 years, and Terrell Pryor is not, but he's not. He's barely
wheeled him over
than
to Cleveland.
He has bad knees, but no, definitely the Browns, Mark.
Wow,
definitely.
I don't need anyone to say the Browns. By the way,
things are looking up. I just in Cleveland
like that. The look on your face when he killed Kenny Britt a minute ago. It was more like disappointment and sadness than
it was
anger.
Unnecessary.
I usually don't see that.
No, but honestly, no.
It was vastly unnecessary.
No, because Colleen brought up Britt, which surprised me a little bit, frankly.
And, surprised me too.
And I could sign off on basically everything the Browns have done this offseason, except for the prior for Britt. Trade-off.
I will tell you what is a terrible move, and one reason you don't pick the Rams front office is just to confirm your own in-house transactions. You give a massive extension to a guy like Tavon Austin, who doesn't deserve it. This is what the Rams, at least with Jeff Fisher, they did this kind of stuff over and over. You don't want to see that from your front office.
But that was Jeff Fisher was prominently involved with that.
I mean, okay,
thinking,
but
I would think
the general manager there is certainly part of it. He picked him.
I don't know what's going on with Les Snead. Like, is Les Snead like heading into that danger zone, like a Doug Whaley situation?
I think
is that where we're.
Well, certainly, if they keep losing, you don't keep a GM job in the NFL in perpetuity. But I think he's getting a fresh start here with McVay. I think they're going to give him a couple years here to see if this relationship works.
No, but by that I mean, is there someone else in the organization that could usurp him in terms of power?
No, and they
really stand by
of him. So
he's getting a nice run here. All right, Colleen, it is time for you to offer a this or that.
Okay, I am still coming up with one, so I'm going to go with one. Sorry.
You want me to go, and you can have a little more time?
Why don't you go first?
I'm going to make mine real simple.
Yes, Greg?
This or that. It's just you have a franchise, and you can choose which quarterback. Which one do you want, this or that? Dak Prescott or Jameis Winston? Mm. Wes is always saying, you know, why do we have to compare Winston and Mariota? How about compare Winston with another one of the best young quarterbacks in the league?
I'll go Jameis Winston.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good.
I agree. I will also go Jameis Winston. I believe Jameis Winston is on the verge of...
Greg is fist pumping right now. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, it's clear everyone has some sort of an agenda.
so far, so good. Jameis Winston, I'm just surprised you didn't say Marcus Mariota.
I think that wouldn't have been the answer.
I think Winston is, to me, has a higher upside. Prescott had an amazing rookie season, but I can't I don't want to hold it against him, but if you put Jameis Winston behind the Cowboys offensive line, then he might have been the MVP last year.
With Ezekiel Elliott behind him.
Yeah, setup. Yeah. And I think Prescott, if you put him on the Bucs, maybe they could do some things, and maybe they'll be a playoff team. But I think that Winston is just a superior player to Prescott.
Yeah, I think that the offensive line has a ton to do with the way that Dak Prescott performed last year. But I'm going to go with Dak Prescott because I don't want to go with the rest of the group, okay?
I wanted to kind of test, okay, where are we at with – because, yes, I think that what you guys are saying is right, and I would lean Winston. But the case for Prescott is that – he did that as a rookie. Like,
right.
Just like Jameis Winston got a lot better as his second year. Like, Dak Prescott very well could get significantly better and be, like, a legit, like, MVP candidate or something like that. And, like, I don't know. You don't see rookie seasons like that almost ever.
He
so
came
it's crazy.
In and took I don't know Tony what it's Romo's be. Job.
I don't want to – yeah, and it's not fair to doubt him, so I won't. But the thing with the Cowboys last year, and I've said it before on this podcast, everything went right. Everything went right throughout the regular season. It was like this perfect thing. It was even when you think back to Tony Romo's goodbye press conference in November, and he was speaking like, this is there's something really special going on with this team. There was a general belief in the league that the Cowboys had this like Super Bowl mojo, and then Aaron Rodgers assassinated it. But that was a perfect season. I want to see how Dak Prescott and company reacts to a little bit of adversity, because I could see that happening.
Right. The one thing I would say, yes, it's you can point to the Cowboys and say, oh, imagine quarterback X being in Dallas and how great they'd be. But how hard is it as a rookie who came in with not a lot of draft pedigree to take over the job of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, one of the most pressure-packed positions in all of sports? And he did it in a tough situation with Romo, going through what he was going through, and you never heard a negative word from Dak Prescott. He handled it really well. So it is tighter than maybe I thought it was out of the gate.
I got one.
You got one? All right, Connie.
Based on personal agendas, let's go to the NFC East and the Giants or the Eagles. Let's just
That's it? Do the whole team?
Their offense. Take their
this or that.
Would you rather the Giants offense or the Eagles offense?
Oh, offense.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like an idea.
So you have,
I came up with in about 30 seconds.
And you have them forever.
You have them forever at their peak. Mm,
that is tough.
I don't think it is.
At their peak?
Carson,
what do you mean at their peak?
At their best.
Mean?
All of their players are
what
healthy.
What does that even mean?
All their players are healthy.
Right now. But right now, right. Moving forward.
So it's not like 2011 Eli Manning.
No.
Okay.
No, it's right now.
You got Carson Wentz there with Alshon Jeffrey, LeGarrette Blount, who they just signed.
I absolutely go Eagles because Eli Manning's got like another – you automatically have to find another quarterback to come in and run that offense. Carson Wentz, you start with the quarterback, you build around him. It's easier to do that.
I'd rather the Giants offense. It's not close.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I haven't given up on Eli. I think he's healthy and can have a bounce back season, and he has the best role players around him ever.
But you're going to have to find a quarterback in the next 700 days,
and you have
days,
no
though.
Running game.
In the 700, why?
Because it's going forward. It's not
well,
just
it's
for this year.
How long? I'm going to look for – I think he probably has like 3 or 4 years left, so I'm not going to leave you on that.
It's close for me because as good, you know, as much as we like Carson Wentz and as bad as we think Eli Manning was last year, Eli Manning was still better than Carson Wentz last year. And I'm very, you know, I was very critical.
Oh, Carson Wentz was a rookie last year.
No, I get it. And then the offensive line in New York is certainly inferior, but the skill position talent I would definitely trust over Philadelphia.
At wide receiver.
Like Alshon, like we'll see how that works out. I mean, ask the Bears about how much he helped their team last year. I think they have mixed feelings. Torrey Smith has no guaranteed money, you know, for a reason. Jordan Matthews, he's there right now. I don't know if he's there long term. So it's close, but I'm taking the Eagles anyways because I do think Wentz is going to get better. And I always want to believe the best in the Eagles. That's why I pick them to win the division just about every year, and it almost never works.
It does.
Great. Maybe don't do that anymore then.
Nice agenda, Colleen.
Yeah, thanks.
I have my own agenda.
Ooh.
Surprisingly, perhaps.
Okay.
Jets or a corpse.
Here we go. Again. Mark,
I'm gonna go
there.
Corpse. Huh? Corpse.
The factory of gladness over there. Just wait till the season starts.
Like you can
all right?
Listen.
Just wait.
Here's the problem. Here's
oh,
the
no.
problem. The season is going to be a rot fest for both of us. I'm just enjoying this time best
you can,
I can.
You can sell the corpse for some organs.
Absolutely.
Get some cash for that. Jets. I don't
you
know
go.
What you do with that.
All right. On
good, good
to,
one, Dan. On to Greg.
Yeah. On to you guys are very funny.
All right.
On to the throne of sleaze.
We we come in peace.
They seem friendly.
I say we trust them.
How great for our planet.
This is my favorite part.
This or that. More columns, debates, long forms, essays, photo galleries about how the Patriots won the offseason. Mm. Or a root canal where the dentist runs out of Novocaine, so he hands you an oak stick and commands you to bite down. What do you want? This or that?
Oh, definitely the photo galleries and columns.
That's the world we live in. It's happening anyways. So I didn't know this is – You really stretched the bounds of this or that, though.
I don't even know what this is or that is.
So wait, you didn't just come up with that?
That was typed out over lunch as I thought to myself, what a terrible segment this is.
Does that come with the reality that the Patriots are no longer a power on any level? Or is it just that people don't pay attention to the best team in sports?
I don't know. Everybody stop talking about the Patriots for 1 second. Is all I want.
I just want to
bring them up.
I hate going to the dentist more than anything.
You choose the biting on the
the stick.
Send me to the dentist's office. Let's get to work.
What kind of dentist do you go to?
He's not a good dentist.
Oh my god.
He's a terrible dentist. Mark, you got another one?
Okay, this or that. You can have your favorite team win the Super Bowl this season, but you must spend from now through February in a vow of silence. You cannot speak to anyone and must live alone in a sealed off underground lair. Deep in Canada somewhere.
That.
Well, all right, hold on. Or football will go away forever tonight at midnight, but one day a month for the rest of your life, you have the ability to fly for hundreds of miles at a time over Earth.
Oh, I don't know. That flying part kind of sounds good.
But football does not
exist. Is this Wallace 2 Fantasia?
Huh? Well, I also don't know what the game is, so I'm just doing what I feel like at this point.
It's fair. Then we lose our jobs too if football goes away, right, or something.
Yeah, that was the thing I was worried about.
Let's say that your ability to fly would quickly have you wanted in other areas, and you'd be far richer.
You could make the money back with your flying.
You'd have an incredible skill to market.
You'd be like a one man, FedEx.
Or the government could take you and dissect you to figure out how you're flying.
You could fly to where no one would find you.
So I'd be alone though.
Oh. Because I like the idea of having cover somewhere in Canada, just in, with everything that's going on right now. That doesn't sound so terrible.
Yeah.
But now that I can fly anywhere too, where nobody could find me, this is also a viable option for me. As I go on the run,
you couldn't fly to a politics podcast.
You just couldn't fly to a football game because there would be none.
I like the scenario where football isn't dead.
Yeah.
So that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well.
I was going to say.
And your team wins the Super Bowl. Why are we all so down?
Vow of silence and you're removed from your family and things of that nature.
Yeah, but you're doing it. Here's the thing. Let's say you were doing it for.
That's more important than me.
I mean, I don't want to.
Let's say you were doing it for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
You would come back as an absolute hero. You took this agreement.
People would know.
The New York Jets would know forever that Dan Hansis is the reason this happened because you didn't speak for a year.
Does that open up a whole other can of worms, though, that they only won because I colluded somehow, or
and how does your
other
family
teams
react
colluded
to
with
this?
Us?
I mean, I also typed this out during lunch, so I don't have all the background.
I just think, I don't think either option is really that appetizing.
Right, and it depends.
It's this or that.
Right, it's a throne of ease type of comment, but the Patriots have won two of the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
So, there's been enough. I've had enough,
Yeah, so I thought
how
of you when
enough?
I did this. I knew that
how
you wouldn't care about the Super Bowl part.
I care. But.
No, but so I came up with the other option, which is no football. And your Twitter bio simply says football.
Right.
So you'd have no
I
want to
save football. I don't want to ruin football for everyone and take it away for everyone.
So then
you'd have
a vow of silence for a year.
I can live with that.
In Canada. And the Patriots win the Super Bowl again. Terrible for Dan.
Canada doesn't sound that
bad.
Hey,
my wife might not mind that vow of silence.
Poor okay. Sydney.
I do like the idea of football disappearing and Greg just having to change his bio to nothing.
Just be like, one day later, be like, tennis.
Okay.
I know Colleen's fresh out, as am I.
I know. I have another
one. You got another
one? Yeah. Okay.
She's thinking on your feet.
Today, I saw on Twitter... this new fashionable thing that you can wear. So this or that, would you rather, or I mean this or that, sorry, it's not would you rather, this God. Or that. Detachable jeans that turn into shorts.
Like at the, like a flip yep. down the leg or something?
Yep. Okay. So
do they turn into jorts?
Yes. So,
that's important.
Detachable jeans that turn into jorts or sneakers with wheels that can come up or down. So if you want to, if you need to get somewhere quick, I think I've seen a couple kids wearing those. This or that.
Frankly, I'm surprised this didn't involve the male rompers.
God, that's right.
Well, good for you because right. that's quickly becoming, we're almost in a post-rompers.
Yeah, you've kind of moved on already
right,
in a way, which
right.
is, it just shows that you're ahead of the curve. What would I rather have, own?
This or that, not anything about rather.
I definitely don't want to wear jorts under any circumstance.
No?
No. And okay. I feel like if I could master the nature of the wheels on, uh-huh. the, on the shoes, it could come in quite handy if you're running late at the airport.
Right.
As you know, I'm very scared about missing my flights.
It's so awful traveling with Dan because every second that ticks off the clock, he's looking at his watch and he has to be at the gate.
It's the my worst fear is missing a flight.
Oh, it's great though sometimes.
What, to miss a flight?
Yes, because they will be like, oh, we'll reschedule you. And you get put on like 4 hours later. You can go to the airport bar. You can hang out. Or they'll put you in a hotel overnight. It's really good.
Well, you love hotels no matter where they are more than I do.
If it's not
like an airport hotel isn't the coolest thing in the world, typically.
I don't know. It's pretty great.
Mark's like, no, actually it might be the coolest
They're
thing in the
awesome.
World.
They're pretty awesome.
Anything else, guys?
I had a last one.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I had a very, like, football generic one, and I feel like we can't go back to that at this point, like, talking about which offensive line is better, you know. Mm. Let's hear it, Mark.
Well, all right, so you must spend the rest of your life as either a Lions fan or a Jaguars fan.
Oh. I'm Lions fan. That one's easy for me because I want the tradition and the that they've been a team for, like, a long time, and eventually – I think they'll win. I like the fact that their fans have been around forever and they're loyal and they've stuck with them. So I think the Lions,
they get
jump on with that.
A Thanksgiving game at noon every year.
That's
How
true.
Fun is that? It's easy for me too. The Jaguars and Jags fans, by the way, should get credit. The ones that are loyal,
they
haven't had
too.
Much to cheer about, so they deserve a lot of credit. But the Lions have the history. They're one of the original teams. I'm going.
I don't know. I like that woman, that Jags fan that has a house at the beach or by the.
It's not at the beach though.
And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Like I kind of want to hang out with her, so I'm just gonna pick the Jags.
Right, it's more likely you'd be living maybe in a warm climate, rooting for the Jags. So that's a positive.
I think I would go Jags. I know Kevin Patrick suffered forever as a Lions fan, so respect to that, but. There are certain teams that ever since I've started watching football, I just find kind of boring, kind of annoying, and the Lions are in that group for me. I just don't like...
But the Jaguars aren't?
The Jaguars are not in a much better group, but they're in a little bit of a better group. I kind of like... I think that here's what happened. Had the Jaguars started to turn the corner about a year ago, the whole energy around that team would have been amazing. Instead, it's like you've let us down so many times that we now simply don't believe in you at all. But I do think that... If they got good, it would change a lot. It would be fun. They'd be a fun team.
There you go. That is the end of the game. You ready, Colleen? A lot riding on this final rendition.
Is this the intervention?
No,
oh, okay.
No, we're getting there. Okay. That's after we stop. We're actually not going to do that on the air here. But here we go. Wrap it up, Connie.
It's time for this or that, this or that. Hey, everybody, put on your this or that hat. Now.
That's pretty good.
It's getting better. It's getting closer.
Pretty good. We will be back on Monday with another week of shows. And you're not going to believe what we got up our sleeve.
Oh, my God. Really?
Well, all right. We don't have anything yet. But the goal is by the time Monday rolls around, we're going to have some big time stuff up our sleeve. Aren't we, Greg?
It's going to be the
lot of
two
plans.
Of you, I believe.
Mm-hmm. We'll be.
Is that true?
You're not here next week?
I sent you guys the spreadsheet with our vacations. I am gone all next week.
That's amazing.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's true. He really did send it.
I actually did update the spreadsheet to include my off days as well.
Okay.
So it's just Greg next week, right?
I will be here.
Greg's like, finally.
Colleen, I think it's safe to say we'll be heavily involved in the programs
okay.
next week.
Are you around?
Great. Depending on her availability.
Looks like I'm free.
Please be around.
We are, peeling back the curtain. We're scrambling a little bit without Wes here now. And this time of year, it's a little tricky with off days. But we will be back and we will. We're going to deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm. We send our.
So many things up our sleeves.
And if he's listening. Sending our best thoughts to Wes, who we will see tonight at our softball game.
Do you think people are still listening?
I was wondering if Wes and perhaps the Paramore were listening. Really, to them.
I'm sure they are.
Good luck with softball. Did you find another girl?
We did. We found. We were short, and we've tried so hard to get Connie to help us out. I've made offers.
Literally,
to her.
We would have had the game was almost canceled because you wouldn't do it tonight.
My parents are here.
It's and always something
we're
else
doing
you,
a Connie. Little bit of a thing
a
for
thing.
my health.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. So I can't make it because I have an intervention.
That's a good point. You're gonna be on a plane to Pathages in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Who is playing?
You want to know who's playing?
Oh yeah,
I'll
breaking
tell you who's
news.
Playing. A little breaking news right here. Playing now batting. Number 14, the right fielder, new money. Number 14.
guys, really, no, don't cheer. Please don't.
Sydney's like, if you guys need help in a pinch, I'll be there for you. But just one problem, I don't have a glove, and I haven't played softball in, over a decade?
Not quite a decade, but at least since
But you've played
senior
it before.
High school.
You'll be fine.
I was the same way. I hadn't played since middle school. You'll pick it right back
How much
up.
Did she? How much money is she commanding for this in her new
I had to start another GoFundMe. Take care of this.
This is gonna be good for you, Sydney. Just get away from the focus on materialistic objects and things of that nature, and be part of a team.
Wait, you're gonna pay her in money, and you wanted to pay me in beer?
Well, you got to pay what the people like the most.
Fair, it's fair. It's
that's,
fair.
That's the whole intervention thing. But it actually now it makes sense. Why would we bring you to a beer-based softball team?
Yeah.
Considering what's about to happen.
You can't enable that way.
Yeah. Help me.
Enough with the enabling around Colleen.
Yeah. All right. Sydney, well, on Monday we will have a full report on how the team did, including Sydney, who I promised, no pressure on Sydney. We just needed somebody out there, and we're going to find her a glove. And who knows, maybe she'll shock the world.
Well, let's hold off on any promises until it actually happens.
All right, let's take it home. Let's do that.
Yeah,
that's how you talk. This is Dan Hansa signing off.
Take
for
it home.
Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the old boss, and new money behind the glass, batting seventh till Monday.